shining downward toward earth. When we went down to Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosein lahem Eila Hashemos. Then Hashem gave them these specific names. So he seems to be saying like this, and it's kind of a new idea, really. Where's the finish behind me? In the beginning of the Sefer Shemos, the Torah writes, Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael, these are the names of the children of Israel, Haba'im Mithraima, which come to Egypt. That's present tense. Didn't say which came, which come to Egypt. Es Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ishu Be'sobo. Each man came with his family. And then it says, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Vayihi kol nefesh, and it was all the number of the souls, Yotze Yerach Yaakov, those who were the product of Yaakov's, literally, of his thigh, means to say his progeny, Shivim Nefesh, 70, V'yosef Hayab Mitzrayim. So, we see the actual naming of the Shvatim. So he wants to say that really, in Ruchnius, the source of the Shvatim is above. Sounds like he's saying it's even above their name. That's what it sounds like he's saying. But when they went into Mitzrayim, he gave them specific names, and he counted them accordingly. Now we'll see what he means, hopefully. K'moshukasuf mori zaken yizal l'dayek b'chasiv, as it's written, haboim, as we just said, those who come into Egypt. V'lo asher bo, and it doesn't say those who came into Egypt. It says present tense. Lahodia, to make it known, ki b'chol eis shebenei Yisroel yordim l'galus. It's to make it known that at any time the Jewish people have to descend into exile. That's why it's present tense. It can apply at any time. We can't just look at it as something in the past. But any time we have descended or are descending into Galus, Holchim imahem shemos elu. These names, the names of the tribes, go with us. That's what he's trying to say. That the giving of the mentioning of these names now is significant in that it's saying the zechus of each shevet goes with us on a regular basis as we go into Galus.
When's the first time that they're no longer referred to as just brothers or families, but tribes? Is there a time?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know when the first mention of that is. I think that it's not until later when the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim and they're counted and they're appointed by a tribe. They're described as a mate, the staff of each tribe. I don't believe, and I might be wrong, that the word Shevet is ever mentioned in the Sefer Bereishis at all. I think they're either referred to as Bnei Yisroel or the children of Yaakov or the brothers of Yosef. I don't believe the word Shevet is ever used.
But it does start in this week's parsha. It says Ishmi Beis Levi. Instead, they do start to call them Abayis.
Abayis.
Yes.
Abayis.
Yes.
Shemi.
Before the whole plow is referred to as become a great people, a great nation, but not
right.
Individual.
Right. Now, I'm really not sure what he means about this point about the Shoresh being above nature, that we know. We understand that the source of Klal Yisrael is the Malamin HaTeva. But saying that, giving them these names as we go into Mitzrayim, I don't understand what he means more than the very next specific definition that each one of the Shvatim are protecting us, their Zechus protects us as we go into Galus throughout history. Outside of that, I don't understand his statement.
I wonder, sort of an interesting way to think about it is that these are really our common Jewish names. And
they are now.
Well, yeah, but and since every other Galus, since we've gotten, this has been one of our things that's reminded us of who we are.
The actual
These
name.
Are our names, yeah.
It's a nice idea. Uzuchus hashavatim ba'ayin nefesh mesayim l'bnei Yisrael v'galus. The merit of the tribes and the 70 people who went down to Egypt with Yaakov, they are always helping us and supporting us in galus. So that's how he's learning the present tense, why it says haba'im. It's referring to any time we're in galus, and the zechus of all of them supports us while we're in galus. Ukasiv, hine ze omer achar koslenu. It's written, this one stands behind the barrier, or behind the wall. I don't know where that's written. Shehagolus hu mechitza hamafsekes. What is the barrier? It is exile. Right? The exile of the Jewish people, that is the barrier that seems to separate us from our Creator. V'amru chazal, and the Chachamim said, afilu mechitza shel barzel. Another statement, even a barrier of iron, of steel, ein mafsekes ben Yisrael la'avihem shabashamayim, cannot come between the Jewish people and their Father in heaven. So on the one hand, the galus is a barrier for us, but at the same time, there is really no barrier between Hashem and the Jewish people. There is an apparent barrier, and there's the struggle and the difficulty of attaining the relationship, it's an apparent barrier, one that we have to work with, but in essence, there is nothing that can separate God from the Jewish people. And he continues that, Zehu Hayud Beis Shvatim. The fact that there's no barrier, that refers to the very basic, most basic definition of the Jewish people, the 12 tribes. Sheyesh l'kol echad he'orem miyuchedes avur b'nei Yisrael. Each tribe, we talked about this a little bit in a couple of weeks ago, has a specific light contribution to make on behalf of the Jewish people. We put all of them together, that equals the relationship of the Jewish people and God, where no separation can actually intervene. Mashkiach mina chalonos. Right, this is quoting from, we say it by... we say it at Kiddush Lubavitcher. That
it's from Shir Shira?
I think so. Kol Odi Hinei Zabah, I think it's from Shir Shira. That Hashem looks out from the windows. Kiddeisa Sheyesh Yudbeis Halonos Birakia. There are, as we know, 12 windows in heaven. Because each shevet is considered to be a specific window, a portal, an opening to Shemayim. V'lachen tzorich lihios beveis hagnes es yud beis chalonos. That's why a shul is supposed to have 12 windows, because it corresponds to each... I think it's a minhag. But it's one which is widely adhered to.
Did we have to count in developing here? 12 or more?
Well,
or?
Actually, the way it turned out is that we didn't end up with 12, although initially we were going to have 12. It just didn't pull itself all the way through.
Well, what's I mean?
12 is us.
I've counted the east wall downstairs a number of times because there are different ways you can count the windows.
Right.
So I have different cheshbonos of how we can actually consider east wall. If you go all the way along this wall and then you, and also the
kind of
sun
each,
porch,
each
you know,
thing
has each one is a window, right?
That's
so I have the cheshbon where it is, it does equal 12.
Oh, okay.
That'd be a good quote for Paul Benton.
Right. I call it again now. Okay. Metzitz min ha-charakim, also peeking through the cracks, it also describes. Yitochen lefarish, we could describe this as follows. Al ha'oros ayin nefesh. The light of each of the 70 people that went down to Mitzrayim, Shehem Ha'oros Pechusim Mehayur Beis Kehefer Shebein Chalonos L'Harakim. So he wants to say that the concept of gazing through the window, that refers to large openings in Shemayim, corresponding to the 12 tribes. And the concept of peeking through the cracks refers to smaller openings that we do have within us, but they're much smaller. They are, there is a light that comes to our neshama from the 70, but it's like a crack. So it's like the difference between a window and a crack. And a window is, you can look through it, it's light, and the crack you have to peek through, but the light does come through. And that's the effect of the difference between the 70 who went down to Mitzrayim and the 12 Shvatim who were included in that.
A lot of that.
All right. It's a little bit elusive. I might make it a little elusive. Take a look at one more. Page 8 on the left column, Balabas H. Page 8, left column, third paragraph, Balabas H. So it says, Hashem appeared to Moshe Balabas H in a flame of fire, mitoch hasneh, from out of the midst of the bush. The Midrash quotes on this pasuk, Ani Yesheno Velibi Er. It's also from Shir HaShirim. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. That's what we try and say when we come in the morning to davening, right? At least my heart is awake. Pirusha, Kodesh Baruch Hu Hera LeMoshe. What does this mean? Hashem showed to Moshe Mare Gedola Zu. This tremendous vision, he had a nevuah, a revelation, mitoch choshech hagolus atzmo, and it came out of the very darkness of golus itself. And so the shrub is representative here in this perspective of golus. Not sure why, maybe because it's low to the ground, perhaps. And the labas esh, the fire, it comes out of the bush. And he wants to say what that means is that the context of the revelation is the bush. We have to look not only at the prophecy Moshe Rabbeinu had, but the context through which Hashem gave him the prophecy, which represents Golus. Golus was the context of the vision. V'zeh ha-yohatema. He says this is the pshat of why Moshe was so confounded by this vision. Not because the fire didn't burn the bush, although that's certainly the pshat, but on a deeper level, madua lo yivar hasneh, how could it be that the sneh, the golus, is not simply burned up? Me'achar shenimsa be'emes, being that in truth, within golus itself, we find hislahavus hagodol hazeh, a tremendous light and a tremendous fire, Eich yesh kiyum leklipa. How could it be that the klipa, that the darkness of exile, is sustained? As once Moshe Rabbeinu grasped that within Golus there's a tremendous source of revelation, then it became difficult to understand what could it possibly be that the darkness remains. How could it be? How could it be? How could it be that if there's so much here being revealed that the darkness remains? How's it possible? Eich yesh kiyum leklipa hamachsheches oros hagdolim halalu. How could this klipa, which darkens the tremendous light of revelation, exist? The fact that there's simultaneously, that there's choshech, and in the choshech is light, and the fact that the choshech still exists, was a pella to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's kind of a twist. We usually think about that, how is it possible that there's light in the midst of all this darkness?
Mm-hmm, right, yeah.
That's the normal approach, right?
Yeah.
This is, how is there darkness in the midst of all this light? Yeah. The total opposite of our...
Yeah.
And that was the revelation that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Once he saw the light, how could it be that the darkness continues? Ach zeh be'emes retzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu laharos lo. This, in truth, is gufa what Hashem wanted to reveal to Moshe. He wanted him to understand this point of how much light there is, even in the midst of galus. Ki adarabba, and as a matter of fact, to the contrary, lefi godel hachoshech v'hagolus, in proportion to the amount of darkness and exile, nistarbo or godol, there is a greater light hidden. Right? The greater the darkness of exile, the more the light is within, as it takes more darkness to cover it over. Ganuth, concealed within it, v'hu b'chinas ha-ge'ula, and this is the redemption itself, meaning the tremendous light which is accumulating as the darkness gets greater and greater, that ultimately will be the light of the redemption. So it's a consoling insight that as the darkness of Galus increases, that what's really happening is internally the stored up light which will be revealed is getting greater and greater. It's that concept of, you know, Yeridus Hadoros, the generations continually diminish, but at the same time we arrive closer and closer to the Geula. Appears to be a contradiction, but what occurs on the outside and what occurs on the inside is two apparently contradictory things, but they occur simultaneously. Ki hagolus hu simen al hageula, and he takes it even further, he says, the exile itself is a sign of the redemption. The fact that things are getting darker is a sign that the light within is getting stronger. Ukefi rov kishui hagolus, according to the amount of hardship in golus, mora al tokef hageula, that instructs us as to the strength of the redemption that will come. V'zeh pirish hakasav, and that's the pshat in the pasuk right here from Shmos, v'chasher yanu oso, as much as the Egyptians afflicted and oppressed the Jewish people, ken yirbe v'chein yifrotz, we continue to increase v'chein, meaning likewise, the hardship was increasing, but v'chein means along with it, we were increasing as a people. Pirish hakasav mitaritz atzma, the Torah itself is trying to respond, asher lo yahar haru achar habora yisborach, that we should not have thoughts about God, that he's not taking care of us. Eich hiniach la'anos es amo kol kach, how could it be that he allowed his people to be so oppressed? Ki kefi rov ha'inui, because according to the degree of oppression, ken yihiyah achar kach tokef ha'geula, so there will be afterwards the strength of the redemption. Not an easy concept.
But we'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, it gets difficult because sometimes people take it too far, and then there's this notion that, you know, we try to suffer, because if we suffer, then that shows that things are really good for us. You know, the more I suffer, the more righteous and the more holy that I am. But we're taking really a different approach. We're trying not to suffer. We're trying to have a good life. We're mispalo for Chaim Tov and for Parnasa Tova. We're not mispalo for Tsar. We're trying to move away from it. But at the same time, whatever Hashem decrees is fitting for us to go through, that we are makabel, we accept it, and we have faith that there is geula inside of it. But we never voluntarily go into it. Never. Because then we're already having, we've developed a complex then, that suffering is good. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, we would rush off now and move over to Iraq to live, so we can suffer under some kind of oppression that may be chasing our...
And I think that you see that there are certain religions that that go into the realm of suffering with this notion that the suffering is good. It's gonna help, and they actually intentionally
we've
go into that
in,
realm.
You know, we've had that in times in Yiddishkeit, right?
Well, are you referring to the distortions of it, or are you referring to...
Yeah, well, I'm referring to people who would really, you know, would beat themselves and...
Roll in the snow.
Right. Now, the difference there, there's a very subtle distinction there, is people who were taking sigufim upon themselves. That was strictly for the purpose of conquering their body. Mm-hmm. They were, on a regular basis, working on overcoming the... tremendous desires of their group. So they were on a regular basis keeping it down, keeping it down, keeping it down. It was not like, let's hurt ourselves. It's just getting control in really in a masterful way over the strength of the body's desires. And that's the segufim that we see in our Masorah that some great people were involved in. It was strictly for that purpose. Because we're not permitted to inflict pain upon ourselves. That's not allowed. Okay. Here we go. Three more minutes. Take a quickie. Why not? Why not?
Go ahead.
All I can say is
it's like a new book.
The world is getting day by day. There must be one heck of a light movement.
Right.
Thinking about the events of the last century.
Yeah. Yeah, if you just take it in that context, we'll cross another century.
Word tokef?
Power.
Power.
In the sign, power?
In the sign of tokef.
Right.
Oh.
Okay, this is a little bit of a difficult concept, but I think it's interesting. Page 7, on the top right, the Labas Esh. Can you pen one more time? Make a little tradition here. Labas Esh, sorry. Same pasuk, Hashem appeared to Moshe in a flame of fire. Ki ha'esh yesh lo kama bechinas. Fire has many aspects to it. Ki de'isa b'zor ha'kodesh, as the Zohar writes, v'era, in Parshas v'era, v'kama duchti, and in many places, Ki esh shami b'chutz ulamata sarev. The outer part of the flame and the lower part of the flame, excuse me, burns. The esh hapnimi, the inner part of the fire, shemerumas al aspak la yahar me'ira, that it alludes to, meaning conceptually, a clear vision spiritually, eno sarev, it does not burn. The inner part of the fire, he says, does not burn. He says it was the inner fire, the fire that doesn't burn, which represents what would be the nevuah of Moshe. He had aspak l'arya ha-meira. He had the only one who had an absolutely clear lens of prophecy. Of all the Nevi'im, he was zocha to an entirely clear lens. So the fire that appeared to him was the one that does not burn. That's why the bush didn't burn. Because the dimension of fire that was Nisgala to Moshe Rabbeinu was the fire that doesn't burn, the inner fire.
It's interesting to put this one together with the last one.
Much different perspective. Mezesha Kasuv Hamara Hagodol Hazed, and that's why Moshe says here, look at this tremendous vision, meaning he's seeing. He was given to see now the clarity of Nevuah. Bukidaisa b'midrash kedei lalabavo sheherahu ha'esh ha'gidola shebishas matin Torah. He says that this was given to Moshe in order to, I think the pshat is to ignite him, to ignite Moshe and to show him the tremendous fire that would be at the time of matin Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given a precursor of the revelation that would occur later in Matan Torah. He was given that revelation at the Sneh.
The sneak preview.
Right. Uba'emes eno yochol lavo la'ish hazeh kodem heshelamata. Because the truth is, we cannot arrive at the inner fire, the clear vision, the one that does not burn, before we experience the lower fire, the one that burns. Uba'ulis mitzrayim haya be'ish hasoreh. The redemption of the Jewish people from Egypt was through a burning fire. Ubo nichlu hamitzri. It was in that fire that the Egyptians were consumed. As there was a fire of destruction, referring to the destruction of the Egyptian culture and their society. And we also went through that fire, although we were redeemed by it. V'achar kach zochu l'matan Torah, then the next fire we were zocha to was the fire of the giving of the Torah. La'ish ha'pinimi, and that refers to the inner fire that does not burn, the clear vision. V'kol zeh hera ha'kadosh baruch hu l'moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem showed all of this to Moshe Rabbeinu, ki tachlis ha'eish hu koach ha'pinimi, because the purpose of fire, the real ultimate purpose, is its inner power. Hanal, as we mentioned, Pazehu Balabas Eish. That's what it means when a flame of fire, the word Labas is like the word Leif,
yeah.
The heart of the fire, meaning the Eish HaPanimi. Panimi Uso Eish, the inner dimension of fire, which refers to revelation, does not refer to burning or destruction. Shkara.